Chapter 20. The Roll of Years. "Extract him," Dabney begged Jarlaxle. "Get him out of there. Drizzt is back at Matron Malice's side. She will part with Zack for the proper coin." "You told me only 10 days ago that Zack Nefane was as happy as you had ever known him," Jarlaxle argued, caught off guard by the request. "His son, his protege, has returned from the academy with all honors, with whispers that he will grow beyond even the prowess of his father." "And now he is morose," Dabney said, "for now he knows that Drizzt is drow, truly drow, wet in the blood of Darthir." Jarlaxle heaved a great sigh and shook his head. Darthir, an elf. The details of the war party surface raid were out. The year was young. Dale reckoning 1329, the year of the Lost Helm, but already it was proving more eventful than the past decade. As with many of the swirling rumors and whispers in Menzo Baranzon these past decades, the center of that swirl was Daermon Eneshesbirnon, House Towerden, the ninth house of Menzo Baranzon. Matron Malice's treasured son Drizzt had returned to her home after completing his training at Mele Magver. It was little surprise to many, and none at all to Jarlaxle, that Drizzt, the son of Zack Nefane, had dominated his class and was already being compared to his father, who was considered one of the top three weapon masters in all of Menzo Baranzon, if not the greatest of them all. So many other whispers had Jarlaxle heard as well. That was why he had urged Dabney to increase her trysts with Zack Nefane, which had been few and far between of late. "The raid," Dabney explained, and Jarlaxle made himself appear surprised. Always better to hear varying voices, even regarding the same tale, and always better still if the source thought she was breaking the news. "Denin Doerden led the war party to the surface, and there they found the elves at their frivolous play, exactly as Matron Mother Bayenry had predicted," Dabney explained. "Denin led well, I am sure," Jarlaxle said, feigning his ignorance, understating both what he had heard of the excursion and the complete success it had achieved, to the glory of both Doerden's sons. It had been a complete success in the eyes of the ruling council, and no doubt in the eyes of the Spider Queen. To Jarlaxle, it had been just another atrocity in millennia of atrocities, another waste of life and energy for ethereal ends that had never made any sense to him. Why kill someone when you can sell things to her or learn things from her? "House Towerden basks in the favor of the Spider Queen," Dabney said. "Zack Nefane has never been pleased with such favor." "True enough," Jarlaxle admitted, for it was an undeniable assertion. The Weapon Master, after all, always took such glee in murdering priestesses of Loth. "And now it shines on his son," Dabney went on. "It would seem that Drizzt is not so much like Zack Nefane in that regard. More like his zealot mother, perhaps. His blades were wet with blood, and I have heard no words of remorse." "That wouldn't please Zack," Jarlaxle said, more to himself than to Dabney, who nodded. "And so you think Matron Malice would be willing to elevate Drizzt to serve as Doerden Weapon Master and be rid of Zack Nefane? If she does not, it will not end well for Zack or for Drizzt. Of that I am sure." Jarlaxle considered that for a while, yet again finding it hard to disagree. When Dabney had claimed that Zack was morose, Jarlaxle had thought her exaggerating. Jarlaxle had seen Zack at his highs and lows for centuries, and if anything, the man had become more balanced of late, resigned in carving out what little peace of mind he could find in his studies and training. And hopes for his son. Jarlaxle knew more about the surface raid than Dabney, of course, and more than Zack Nefane, likely. Without Zack's knowledge, but with more than a passing interest, Jarlaxle had planted a scout from his band among that war party. Nav Rayan Deer. Jarlaxle knew all about Deneen's exploits. Jarlaxle knew that Drizzt had killed a helpless elven child. Apparently Zack knew too. "Go back to him this night," Jarlaxle instructed. "Go to him often now, as many nights as you can manage. Comfort him. Coax his thoughts. I do not wish to spy on Zacnaphane. Any spying you are doing, any information you are bringing back to me, is for his sake, not mine, Jarlaxle told her. Once, long ago, Zacnaphane Simfrey spared you. Now you can possibly return that debt, and do so in a way that brings comfort to a man you just described to me as morose. Dabney considered that for a few moments, then nodded. So soon? Jarlaxle asked Beniago, when the Bayenri informed him that Dineen and Drizzt were out again on a raiding party, and only months after the surface raid. This time, they were hunting a group of adventurous Verfnebli, who had ventured too near to Menzo Berenzon for the comfort of the ruling council. Jarlaxle shook his head and blew out a sigh, thinking a lot more than he was speaking. The target of this new raid had thrown Jarlaxle's thoughts back to that day more than 15 years before, his last great adventure with Zack. The rogue gave a snort, half chortle, half chuckle, helpless chuckle. Now Zack's son would possibly kill the same deep gnome Jarlaxle, Zacnaphane, and Camoriel had gone to such great lengths to save. Sometimes it seemed to Jarlaxle as if nothing really mattered at all. He was mostly an optimist. Look at all that he had survived, after all. Moments like this, when he could only sigh, almost always led to that one source, Lolf, the great sword hanging over the heads of every drow in Menzo Berenzon and neighboring Chednasad. What might a drow city without the influence of the goddess look like, Jarlaxle often wondered. He hoped that he would live long enough to find out, silently hoped, of course. He turned back to the matters at hand. This new mission would do little to brighten Zack's mood, Jarlaxle realized, and according to Dabney, the weapon master's mood hadn't improved much since her visit with Zack. That same day he had learned of Drizzt's murderous actions against the surface elves. But while that mood hadn't improved, it had shifted, according to Dabney. She wasn't calling him morose any longer. Now she spoke of a simmer, one building to an explosion. Jarlaxle silently cursed himself for not taking Dabney's advice those months before and attempting to purchase Zack from House Doerden. I am surprised that Matron Malice is being so cavalier with her sons, Jarlaxle said. Deep gnomes are no easy opponents. Even victory here will likely prove costly. She may lose Dineen, but I have come to believe that she thinks the younger son blessed and protected by the Spider Queen, Beniago replied. This young Drizzt is as fine a warrior as Melee MacVeir has ever graduated, true. But that means nothing unless it is proven often in battle. My cousin Dantrag was not the highest ranked in his class. It took him a decade of battles, many battles, before his true skill became obvious. Larmgo was a hulking beast, of course, overwhelming the other students. But few expected him to survive his first years at Melee MacVeir. There had been others like him, so promising, and then so dead. And that is the point, Jarlaxle said. Those first months and years after the academy are often the most dangerous. Yes, they can build a great reputation, but if a weapon master is to die in battle, it is usually when he is very young or when he grows old and slow. Either way, it always happens in his last year, yes? Beniago chuckled at that. Matron Malice has so much riding on the promise of Drizzt, Jarlaxle explained. He is her second weapon master. He and his father will prove an enormous advantage to her in her quest to sit on the ruling council. She likely already has Lolf's favor from the successful surface raid, so, yes, it surprises me that she would risk them, particularly Drizzt, again so quickly. Surprises? Beniago said slyly. Intrigues me, Jarlaxle corrected. Do you suspect that she is plotting her next move? Beniago asked. Perhaps she is eager to bring Lolf's favor to a crescendo to aid in her ambitions. Jarlaxle grinned and cocked his head, sizing up his Brigandier soldier. So now you have decided to do some spying for House Bayenri? He asked slyly. Beniago shrugged, not denying the point. Matron Mother Bayenri allows me my service to you with a price, he reminded. A price to both of us. I have heard nothing, but it wouldn't surprise me, Jarlaxle replied honestly. Have you ever known Matron Malice to be so silent as she near to move? I've never known Matron Malice to attack a ruling house before, Jarlaxle answered. There is no house ranked below House Dewerden threatening them, surely. Particularly not at this time, with House Hunsrin still in disarray, or at least in transition. If Matron Malice is plotting a war, it will be one that sits her on the ruling council. I would not expect her to signal that, no. Those 8 matrons ranked above her sit together often. Who knows what tendrils they have tied to each other? Who knows their alliances? I don't doubt that Matron Malice is planning her move, but I wonder if she even knows at this time who she will move against. I would expect that she will announce her move when she next speaks with Matron Mother Bayenry, seeking hints as to which of the 8 houses would be considered the least costly loss. Beniago was no child, and surely not sheltered within the luxury of his house. He understood the reasoning, of course. You said it yourself, Jarlaxle offered. She is building the music, the favor of Loth. This will be an eventful year. Indeed, Beniago answered, wearing a grin Jarlaxle could not quite decipher. Do tell, he prompted. Perhaps Loth's favor does not shine on House Dewerden as brightly as Matron Malice believes, he said. And so, perhaps another house will be the one initiating the events of the coming months. What do you know, Jarlaxle demanded, trying not to give away just how surprised he was at that news. Less than you believe, and more than I can tell, Beniago replied. Jarlaxle had no answer to that, and no follow-up question. Beniago was a soldier in his band, but Beniago was also a Bayenry, after all. Another piece of the strange puzzle fell to Jarlaxle not long after, when Dabney came to him yet again, this time to inform him that Zack's mood had shifted once more. Happy? Jarlaxle asked incredulously, after Dabney had reported the abrupt shift from the weapon master. As happy as I have ever seen him. Jarlaxle searched for some answer to this unexpected turn. When Dabney came to him this day, he had almost expected her to tell him that Zack had murdered his son, or that the weapon master had fled House Dewerden and Menzo Berenzon altogether. But no, he was still there, and Drizzt was very much alive. Battlings were if Neblin summoned elementals in the corridors of the Underdark, or on whatever new adventure Malice had sent her sons. Had the news of Drizzt's ethical failure completely broken his friend? Had Zack simply gone mad? He gave you no clue as to why? Jarlaxle asked. He only said that he was no longer alone, she replied. He has found an ally and a friend. Who? Dabney shrugged and held up her hands helplessly. Jarlaxle thought back to his conversation with Beniago. The pieces almost fit, but Jarlaxle knew that he was missing something here, something important, something that would probably get some drow killed. Jarlaxle dropped his face into his hand, shaking his head. On one level, he was sorry his curiosity had led him to the chambers of Triel Bayenry. Jarlaxle hated coming here. Triel was among the most dangerous and intelligent of the drow priestesses he dealt with. She was very short, less than 5 feet, shorter even than most men, and perhaps because of that, she always operated as if she was determined to stand atop anyone who dealt with her. With the Bayenry imprimatur behind her every move, and her own tremendous divine powers, she was usually successful in her attempts. You know what Matron Malice will do, of course, she said, only to twist the knife and cause more pain. Triel had just informed Jarlaxle of Drizzt's betrayal, or cowardice, during the surface raid on the Darthir clan. Matron Malice knows? She does. She had an unfortunate encounter with a handmaiden, and there learned that Dermon Eneshezbernon was not in Loth's favor. Matron Malice is no fool. I give her that much. She looked and looked hard, and so she discovered the truth. Her prized son did not kill the elven child, quite the opposite. He covered the child in her mother's blood and thus saved it from the blades of those who had accompanied him on the raid. An amazing betrayal. Cowardice, as you said, Jarlaxle quickly added, trying to shape the opinion of this very powerful priestess. If Drizzt had failed because of cowardice, he would be punished, of course, but cowardice was something that could be corrected. Blasphemy was not. The Weapon Master, your friend and sometimes associate, knows the truth as well, Triel told him. Jarlaxle was not surprised by that as the pieces began to fall into line, all perfectly explaining the dramatic shifts Dabney had been describing in Zaknafane's mood. Drizzt told him, Triel went on, and Matron Malice had invisible ears. Invisible ears, a phrase priestess is often reserved for Lolth and her handmaidens. If you behave badly, every drow was taught from her or his earliest days, Lady Lolth will know. Her ears are all about you, invisible, hovering, waiting to catch your transgressions. Malice had magically spied on Zack and Drizzt. That evidence is weak, Jarlaxle said. And he knew he was flailing here, but he had to do something. He had to try. Perhaps Drizzt was simply telling the Weapon Master what he thought Zaknafane wanted to hear. Lady Lolth's disfavor clouded House de Werden before the second boy told the Weapon Master, Triel reminded him, before Jarlaxle could find any wiggle room in whatever wild theory he might concoct to throw her down a different path. The disfavor was not from Drizzt's words, but from his actions during that raid. Triel's obvious glee had Jarlaxle grinding his teeth. You know what Matron Malice will do, of course, she said again, openly smiling, and more about Jarlaxle's discomfort than any feelings regarding Drizzt or Zaknafane or House de Werden she might hold. It was all just a game to her, to all of them, and now her play was bringing pain to Jarlaxle, which she enjoyed immensely. Jarlaxle did know what Malice would do, what she had to do. She would sacrifice Drizzt to Lolth. However much she prized her promising second boy, however much she thought Drizzt might bring to House de Werden, none of it was possible, in fact quite the opposite, if Malice and her family were under the cloud of Lolth's disfavor. One of the houses ranked behind de Werden could use this to ascend, or more likely and more devastating to House de Werden. Any of the 8 ruling houses who saw the 9th house as a threat could use this to eliminate that threat with finality. Jarlaxle played it out further in his thoughts. It wouldn't end with Drizzt, he realized. Malice would be rid of the boy, though she didn't want to, and then Malice would have to deal with the person Drizzt had told of his crime, a person who had certainly not gone to her with the news of Drizzt's admission of guilt. Zack's mood swings filled in all the holes for Jarlaxle. Zack, too, was surely doomed. Not right away, of course. Vicious Malice would make him suffer the pain of losing Drizzt for a while. Perhaps she would even allow Zaknafane some chance at redemption, since she might well need his blades in upcoming struggles. But he wouldn't take it. Jarlaxle knew that. He wondered if he might somehow extract Zack then, perhaps even find a way to pull Drizzt from Malice's grasp. He dismissed the notion immediately, particularly given the woman standing before him. The Bayenrys knew the truth. The Matron Mother herself knew the truth. Jarlaxle and Bregan D'Aerth would never get close to Zack or Drizzt at this time. And this time was all the time they, Drizzt at least, had left. You do not much like the die that have been rolled out before you, Triel remarked, drawing him from his contemplations. I find the whole incident unfortunate and sad, he admitted. A tremendous waste of great talent and promise. Of course it is, the first priestess agreed. And what does Jarlaxle do when he does not like the die roll but cannot change the numbers? How does Jarlaxle mitigate his losses? My losses? Triel laughed at him. Jarlaxle had never felt more naked. What does Jarlaxle do? She asked again. Jarlaxle just looked at her. You don't know, Triel said. It does my heart good to see Jarlaxle at a loss. Here I will offer just a bit more. This will be a momentous night, I expect. He stopped there, and Jarlaxle had to consciously keep himself from leaning toward her. How so? I have much to do, many prayers yet to recite, came the answer, one delivered with that wicked smile. I will be here for many hours. You know the way in, so please, do come and tell me what you mean to do. In fact, I insist upon it." Jarlaxle left House Bay Enry then, making for the Claw Rift and House Oblodra, thinking that Cymmuriel might help him sort things out more clearly in this desperate time. He changed his mind, though, and went instead to the Oozing Myconid, and soon after that, he sat in a room upstairs at the tavern, across the table from Dabney Trerach. The woman waited patiently for Jarlaxle to tell her why he had summoned her. Jarlaxle saw that clearly, but simply wasn't sure how much to divulge. "Drizzt Do'Urden did not kill the elven child," Jarlaxle said finally. "He protected her." Dabney gave an audible gasp. "Matron Malice knows," Jarlaxle went on. "And she knows that Zacnaphane knows."
"Zacnaphane knows?
Why do you think his mood brightened?" Even as Jarlaxle asked that question, though, Dabney seemed to catch on, sighing at her own question, which seemed ridiculous in the face of this evidence. Jarlaxle stood up and began pacing. "What will Matron Malice do?" he asked, as much to himself as to Dabney. "She'll give Drizzt to the Spider Queen at the end of her sacrificial dagger," Dabney answered without hesitation. "Would any matron do differently?"
"But what will Zac do?" Dabney held up her hands. "What does Zacnaphane always do? He will fight and take pleasure in killing every priestess in House Do'Ur—"
"No," Jarlaxle interrupted.
"No.
Malice knows him better than any of us."
"Matron Malice," Dabney corrected, but Jarlaxle brushed it off.
"She knows how dangerous he is, better than any of us. He'll never get the chance. He is cornered and caught."
"She'll kill him too," Dabney whispered in horror.
"Eventually. She'll make him suffer the loss of Drizzt first. She'll blame it on him, make his heart heavy with guilt. That is her evil way, like all of them." He looked to Dabney, expecting her to scold him, but she had nothing to say.
"She'll blame the disfavor of Lolth on Zacnaphane to make it worse,"
Jarlaxle said with flair, and his own words stopped him cold.
"The disfavor of Lolth," he whispered again. "Where are you going?" Dabney asked, when Jarlaxle headed for the door.
"To play the die that have been rolled out before me," he answered. There was no bravado in his reply or in his heart. There was nothing good to be found here, but perhaps, just perhaps, he had found something less bad. He was back with First Priestess Triel Bayenry soon after.
"You interrupt my prayers," the diminutive woman greeted him sourly.
"Do not pretend that you're not enjoying this as much as any prayer you've ever uttered," Jarlaxle replied. Triel laughed, and it was one full of joy, wicked and evil joy. "The disfavor of Lolth on House Do'Urden isn't just because of what Drizzt did," Jarlaxle told her, eliciting a curious look. "Zacnaphane, too, has erred years ago in the tunnels outside of the city." Triel's expression did not change. "The details are not important," Jarlaxle added. "But tell me this one thing. Would Lolth's disfavor be mitigated if Matron Malice claimed only one sacrifice? If she sacrificed the weapon master instead of the second boy? Can you discern the answer? Are you asking me to convince Matron Malice to sacrifice your friend Jarlaxle?"
"No," he said reflexively, fighting revulsion. "I am asking if that would be enough.
That the second boy might be saved and redeemed?"
"That is not how I would put it," Jarlaxle thought, but did not say, and it didn't matter anyway. For certainly Triel understood that her own version and redeemed would never align with Jarlaxle's understanding of the word. A moment later, Triel laughed again.
"I see," she replied. "Matron Malice will kill them both, you fear."
"It wouldn't matter," Jarlaxle admitted. "I know Zacnaphane Do'Urden well. When Matron Malice gives her second boy to Lolth, it will destroy him and he will fight her. Do you not understand that I might enjoy such a spectacle as that?"
"I ask you to do me a favor," Jarlaxle explained.
I will be in your debt and will repay it many times over.
This is important to you, Triel said, and profitable to you.
Name it, but take great care before you utter a request I might find blasphemous.
Get word to Matron Malice that the sacrifice of Zacnaphane alone would suffice in this, alleviating the cloud that hovers about House Doerden. If that is the truth, of course. If that sacrifice would make proper amends.
It will be easy enough for me to discern from a handmaiden, Triel replied.
You know of Zacnaphane's transgression?
I speak to handmaidens all the time, foolish man, said Triel. Of course I know, of course we all know.
We were out in the tunnels in service to Matron Mother Bayenri those many years ago, Jarlaxle felt he had to remind her,
which is the only reason Zacnaphane survived the ramifications of his actions.
Jarlaxle shut up, his lips going tight. They knew everything. They always knew everything. They saw the fall. They anticipated the fall. They relished the fall. He wanted to stab Triel in the eye, then and there. He felt like Zacnaphane, he realized, and never before had he so appreciated the unrelenting rage of his friend.
Go home, Jarlaxle, Triel told him. Go to your tavern or to the Claw Rift, and do nothing more this night or in the days to come. Do nothing more regarding this at all. That is not my advice. It is my warning to you, and one that comes with no caveats at all.
The walk across the city was long and terrible for Jarlaxle. He opted for the Claw Rift, not the Oozing Myconid. He didn't want to talk to Dabney or Camuriel. He didn't want to talk to anyone. The die had been rolled before him, and he had made his play. He tried to envision the unfolding scene in the Doerden compound in the west wall of the city. Malice would tell Zacnaphane that Drizzt's life was forfeit, and Zac would be helpless, so utterly helpless. Zac had only one play, and Jarlaxle was confident that he'd take it. He'd offer himself in his son's stead. It had to play that way, the only way. Many times in that long walk did Jarlaxle consider alternative courses he might take. He could assault House Doerden with Break in the Earth and extract both Zac and his son. But no, of course he could not. The Bayenries would crush him if Malice did not. They would destroy him and Zac and Drizzt and anything and everything Jarlaxle had ever built with his mercenary band. But to interfere in this instance would put Jarlaxle against Lolth openly. There was nothing more he could do. He felt helpless, indeed, but he knew that dear Zac would likely soon know a helplessness and despair beyond anything Jarlaxle had ever experienced. It happened that very night, as Triel had predicted, and happened as Jarlaxle had anticipated, except that he didn't know that Drizzt Doerden was not in House Doerden that night, but was instead out in the city settling a score. Triel had performed her favor and Malice had accepted Zacnaphane's offer. Jarlaxle's friend was dead, given to Lolth, whom he hated above all others. Jarlaxle could only hope that Zac went to his grave with hope that his action would save his son. What Zac hadn't known, however, and Jarlaxle only then the next day discovered, was that Drizzt was gone from House Doerden and from Menzo Berenzon altogether. The young fool, outraged by the death of Zacnaphane, had cursed his matron and fled into the wilds of the Underdark, by all reports Jarlaxle could gather over the next few days. That left Jarlaxle in roiling turmoil, wondering if he should go and try to help Drizzt. But soon after, Drizzt was openly declared an apostate, leaving Jarlaxle helpless yet again. He sat on the roof of the Oozing Myconid one night soon after, staring in the direction of the northern exit of Menzo Berenzon, thinking of Zac's son, a true blade master, a young man cut from the cloth of Zacnaphane in so many ways. That Zac hadn't failed in raising his son to his own image brought comfort to Jarlaxle, whatever fate Drizzt might find out there, which Jarlaxle presumed would be an early death. For Drizzt had done what Zac had always wanted to do. Drizzt had seen the corruption, the evilness, the ugly weight of Lothian edicts, and Drizzt had rejected it more fully than Zacnaphane had ever found the courage to do, more fully than Jarlaxle had ever found the courage to do.
"Run free, Drizzt O'Erden," Jarlaxle whispered into the Menzo Barons on night. "Find your way with untainted heart, and die with honor and integrity. Do something your father was never able to do."
Satisfied, Jarlaxle stood up and turned for the door, adding under his breath an admission that weighted his every step.
"Something I never had the courage to do."